Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And it's your last chance to get more fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this limited-time bundle ends June 30th. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Presents.
We're here. We have
Carlos,
Galito. We have Tony.
Rosa,
we have Oscar.
Toby.
Right, we're all here.
Oscar bailed on it.
I did too.
Oscar, Tony. I wanted all of us to say it at the same time.
Oh man. Mm-hmm.
Well, why did you want us all to say it at the same time?
Because today is a exciting, emotional roller coaster of a pika for us, because it is our last pika, last mm-hmm. episode recording for our second season for the SAP podcast. Yeah, I don't know.
Not only our second season of the whole show, it's the series finale of Spanish.
The series finale.
Not just the season.
In this current form.
Exactly.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you wanted us to all speak at the same time and bombard the listener with a cacophony.
Uh-huh. I wanted them to turn it on, be like, what noises. The fuck? Yeah. But yeah, here we are. Here we are, boys.
Wow, what a ride.
Oh, we did it. How many episodes has it been?
116.
Wow.
Is that real?
I'm going to ask our research department. Is that right? Yeah. What we call them?
Baby, I called it.
What?
116th what? Episode.
Oh my God.
I should have placed a bet, man.
Okay. Oh. Can I say something that's weird?
Yes, our
engineer Jordan just dropped the tea that our very first episode came out on 7/16.
I remember.
2019. We are at 116.
June 16th to 2019.
Wow. What does that mean? What does that mean?
Why do we keep rhyming? This is crazy.
we have had many, many pikas. We've discussed so much stuff that sometimes I'm like, I'll be like at a party and I'll be like, oh yeah, like we talked about this. Like, oh yeah, I've talked about this. I have so much to say now. Like, I have different opinions from different people.
Let me tell you about circumcision, ladies.
Yes, always. Do you guys feel that way sometimes? Like when stuff comes up, you're like, oh, we talked about this in the podcast or whatever.
Yeah.
Because that happens to me all the time.
I feel like we've kind of figured out the best way to be ourselves and talk about our personal stuff without, like, I think at the beginning, we were all kind of like, ugh, we don't want to cross boundaries, cut this, cut that. But I think we found a sweet spot.
Way less notes, like the past, yeah. Like for sure. The first year I was like very like notes. I have a note. I have an edit, mm-hmm. edit. But now it's like, nah, maybe one or two.
Yeah, I wanted to ask how everyone has changed from the first episode till today. Has there been any sort of like significant changes in the way that you sort of, are you a different person now because of doing this podcast?
I feel like I've gotten a lot of confidence in terms of the things that I say. And it's just made me strengthen that muscle to make points and ideas and opinions in a succinct way. Whereas before, mm-hmm. when I listen to myself back, I'm like cutting myself mid-sentence and I can't finish my thoughts and whatever. And I've seen the growth. I've heard the growth. So I'm mm-hmm. happy that I could do that with you guys.
I also feel like we learned such a good groove of like, it's four of us. Let's be real. That's fucking hard to do a podcast with just two people. Sometimes imagine four. And like, I think we found a good groove like in most topics where like we all like at least would find like something to say, even if it was like, you know, like a sports thing. And obviously like, yeah, like I'm very like gonna like dominate a lot of that. But, you know, I think we all like have found different things to talk about, which it was interesting too, like to find out things about you guys that like I didn't know about where yeah. I love finding out stuff like in the middle of an episode.
Mm-hmm. And also the experience has changed. Obviously, I feel like the first, we talked about this already, but being there at the beginning in person and then switching over to Zoom, I think it feels like, you know, pre and post, that's whether we want to count seasons or not, that's what it felt like. We had the season where we were able to do stuff in person, and then because of COVID, we had the season of Zoom. So I think that's also kind of changed things a little bit.
I love being vulnerable as a furry to you guys.
Yeah. That is the one constant.
Well, that is the big
that
thing
is the
that we did
one
learn.
Constant in this entire episode order is Tony has managed to bring up the furry thing.
Every time.
By accident, usually. I just like walk right into it.
Yeah, for me, I learned that, I mean, in terms of like the journey of this podcast, I learned that at the very beginning, I think we were all a little sort of trepidatious about the things that we were saying. Like, we became suddenly really responsible to be the voice of this community.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know? And what's interesting is that throughout the series of the podcast, we've become a little less focused on like, oh my gosh, how can I want to just come across as saying the right thing in terms of our community. I don't want to offend anybody. And just being very eloquent and very clear about our personal opinions rather than us being the voice of like a generation, which is, you know, that you're not going to be candid that way. You know, if you're constantly concerned about like what you're saying or how it might offend people or how it might come across, you know? So
yeah.
In that regard, I think there was a lot of growth there.
Yeah. And it's like, and we've all talked about it. Like, it's also feels so nice to like get those DMs from people that are like, oh yeah, like you said this. And like, I very much feel that way. Or like, thanks for speaking up. Like, at least like, I would always get a lot from like women just be like, kind of be like, yeah, like, thanks for like making that like comment. Like, oh, like, it's so nice to hear like that female voice, like in the opinion of whatever, like, cause even if it's like a like stereotypical type of female, like a speaker, and it's, you know, it's always very interesting to get a straight man's opinion or a gay man's, you know what I mean? Because it's like, we still like want to hear everybody's different voices. And I feel like that was always a big deal for me when I would get like a DM, because it's like, okay, fuck, like I'm, you know, we're sitting in our houses, or we're driving to the podcast. Like, we're putting in time, we're putting in our work, our souls, like into this sometimes. And it's not like a lot of the stuff that we do is really for free, like truly, like, cause we're not making millions off of this podcast. And I think that that's important to note, like that we have very much like made people feel seen and heard. And I think that that's always been part of our goal from the beginning. And I am proud that we all have done that for all of our people and others that are not Latine, like that just listen to the podcast and feel like they can, you know, learn in a way where they don't feel like we're like putting them down or other people down. So I think that's a really beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm. I know. Yeah. I think like to add on to what you were saying, Raisa, like I get a lot of DMs from a lot of queer or trans identifying Latine people. And, you know, like I have a very specific upbringing in the way that I see myself in the Latinx community, and feeling like a complete outcast in my own culture. And then getting all these DMs from such awesome people who feel like, yes, I was, you know, I thought I was someone living in the fringe of Latine culture. And especially in that very first episode when I talked about what it means to be Latinx instead of Latino or Latina.
Yeah.
So I have had so much positive feedback. And there is a little, like, you know, when I was talking about it, I was a little scared of like, I know I'm going to be offending some people. And I certainly did, because I have had some people slide into my DMs being like, your thing being Latinx is problematic. So it was great to find a community of listeners who, like, I consider my friends now. And it's truly magical. It's so cool that this podcast can reach so many people and so many people who share my beliefs, especially the you know, fringe people in the Latinx community. That means so much to me.
Well, I guess on that note, I feel like this podcast has helped me, like, reconnect. Well, our show in general, but also this podcast week to week, reconnect with my Latinidad. I felt like a fringe character in my own.
Well, it's hard. Like, even being in LA where the population is 48 point something like percent Latine, like, we still find ourselves in so many spaces that us four do not feel seen, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that continues, right? Not just because we are in the comedy world, which is dominantly straight cis white men, whatever, like, or just white people in general, But I think, like, you're right, Tony, not to even cut you off, but, like, I just, I think that's a big thing, like, what you just said. And I feel like we all for sure feel that way. Because when you said it, we all were just like, yep, nodding our head. Like, this feels, like, so good. And just, like, you're with your family. Like, you're with your people. And then it's nice to, like, go to, like, a Latina event and be able to talk about, like, the podcast. Because they're like, yeah, you said this. And I felt like that type of way too. And I can't really talk about that stuff with my other friends because they're all white or there's only one that speaks Spanish or whatever that is, you know? So I agree.
Like now that the four of us won't have this weekly thing. And we've told listeners wherever they are, if they feel like they want to connect with their Latinidad to like find other people, right? We won't have this in this format on a weekly basis. What are we going to be doing?
I mean, yeah, for sure. You know, listeners, follow us on IG for sure at Spanish Aquí Presents and at our Twitter, Spanish Aquí. You know, we do have other stuff cooking in la cocina.
Yeah, that's something that we need to make absolutely clear. Just because the Spanish Aquí Present podcast is not continuing does not mean that Spanish Aquí Presents as a team is defunct. We are still continuing to do stuff. We're still trying to uplift our community. We're still working on projects as a collective. So this doesn't mean that we like broke up as a team. It's not like the Beatles broke up.
No, or, you know, right. We just had our first live performance in over a year.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Just to kind of shake off the rust. So, and it felt great.
Yeah.
And also, like, we could come back with another podcast.
We could. Sure.
This could be a hiatus.
This could just be a little break.
What's that fancy word for break?
Sabbatical.
Sabbatical. That's it. But that's for teachers, right?
Yeah. That's for teachers.
I'm taking a sabbatical.
Yeah. I mean, I will say, I think it shows like what a like cool place we all also are at where we can take a break for a little bit from podcasting. You know, it becomes very addicting to some people where they feel like they got to do it every week, even if it's like from their house and their closet where they're doing their own, you know, free podcast that they probably maybe don't even make money out of, which is like, great, like still do that, you know? And we're, you know, we all have individual things going on and we also have team things going on. So yeah, like we could roll through with many, many different podcasts. We might have two podcasts. You don't even know.
Yeah.
You don't even know.
Yeah, I know. And like looking back to like, it's not just the topics that we talked about that was so exciting. We also had really amazing guests that have come on this podcast that I got to meet for the first time for the most part. And I learned so much from. So are there specific guests that stick out in your brain as like, just like interviews that you will remember forever?
I mean, Luis Guzman is like, is up there
every time he comes on. Yeah, every time we interact with him, anytime Spanish Aquí Presents interacts with Luis Guzman.
truly.
I'm gonna say Trejo, Danny Trejo. Yeah. You know why I pulled out? I've been dying to show him my machete, and I finally got to show him my machete that has been in my smart car.
Yeah.
That was kind of tight because that's always been like a bit with like my girlfriends, like because of the machete, like literally being in my car. They're like, oh, you got to show it to the guy. You got to go. Got to show it to the main machete motherfucker. So that was kind of cool. But I don't know. I'm like, we've also had such amazing, like fucking badass females on the podcast. Like, and I mean, I don't know. I feel like
my mom.
Yeah. Yes. You got to have your mom. I got to have my niece. Amanda did it. Yeah.
Give it up for nepotism.
Yeah. You know, I think it's cool. Like we interviewed people that ran for president. Like what the
holy
fuck?
Shit.
Like, did we ever, like, I was like, when we started this, I was like, oh, it's just gonna be a bunch of fucking actors. Like, you know, like
all our UCB buddies are gonna jump on.
Which honestly was fun. Like not necessarily people having to be Latino, let's say, as a qualifier to talk, like Nicole Byer, Bowen, you know, Sashir. It was like so much fun to have all these people on.
Yeah.
We can still talk to him, right? We can still do that?
No. You're done. You can only be under these circumstances.
Yeah. And Oscar, you still have 19 podcasts going strong, right?
I do, yes. Yeah, this I'm still going to be involved in podcasts. Sorry.
Oh, also, we're talking about everybody in a fantastic team that we've been able to work with for the last the people behind the scenes, behind the,
right.
the mic.
Yes, yeah. That's what I was. I wanted to give a shout out to everybody from the beginning. Cody Fisher, our first producer. Snap, snap.
Snap, snap.
Yes.
Anita Flores, our second producer.
Snap, snap, snap.
Our day oneer,
Jordan Duffy, engineer, queen.
Who was there from the pilot episode.
Yes. Yeah. And she wanted to be our engineer. She said, I want them.
Oh, so
that felt good.
Journey.
Felt good to be wanted as the rookies in the biggest comedy network podcasting place. but yeah, and also, obviously, we got to give it up to Colin. Yeah. You know, he's always been a big team SAP. I know that I'm his favorite, but sure. You guys all come in a close
second.
That's
fine.
Yeah. All the three of us tie for second?
Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough.
That's fair.
Is that fair?
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Yeah. How do you guys feel about just like next week not having recording? Are you gonna like log on, set up your mic, and be like,
I'm gonna keep hitting the Zoom link button and then staying on the host is waiting to let you.
Oh my gosh. I don't know, Jordan, Anita, do you guys want to say anything? I mean, I feel like you're always in the background. You guys listen to us talk all the time. I don't know. I feel like you guys wanted to jump on.
That's a lot of pressure we're putting them on right now.
I'm feeling a lot of pressure. As producer Anita.
Speech.
Well, producer Anita, are we your first Latine podcast that you produce?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. The first and only.
Oh.
I will say this is, I would say, especially exciting that I got to work on this with you, because the only other time I got to work with all Latinx people was when I worked at Univision, and I never thought I would get to experience that again, being in that kind of community with so many people in terms of like the spectrum of being Latinx, which I don't usually get to have. So it was really exciting and wonderful to meet. I would be bad at giving a speech if I win an award, if I don't plan something. I should have written something. But
I totally put you on the spot.
The point of this is that I'm trying to be very earnest. I really love working with all four of you. And I hope I get to do it again somehow. Aww. And I will come to LA when the next... I've never been to LA.
You've always done this from New York.
I'm in New York. So when I come to LA one day, I can't wait to see a live Spanish Aki Presents show. And help all of you.
Or we could just grab something to eat or drink.
Too. Yeah, we could also just hang out. That's cool. I'd hang out.
Listen, live, our first live show, I will say here on the episode, is very, 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 very starting to be in the works. That's all I have to say. I'm like, I won't give you any more deets to the listeners, a lot of people have been asking. We're trying to figure this all out, obviously, with like how the world is with COVID and all of that, but you know, it's different. It's really, and we don't have a theater anymore at UCB Sunset. So, you know, things are going to change. And like, I think this year very much has taught all of us that change is just going to happen whether you fucking want it or not. Yeah. Like, figure it out.
And Jordan,
and it can be good.
I want to hear Jordan, please. I want to hear.
Okay. I'm trying not to get emotional, but, I'm so proud of each and every one of you. I'm going to cry too. And I'm so happy to have been a part of this. And I never want to go get a drink or food with you ever. Never. No. No, I am extremely honored. I really haven't mentioned it, but outside of Spanish Aki, I'm a huge advocate for LGBTQ, for POC, for every single person of diversity. And my best friend was born and raised in the DR and moved to the US. And so the Latinx world is very dear to my heart. So as a white woman who can help in this world at any point, I'm honored to have helped on this show. And I'm very sad that it's the season is ending. But I also know that all of you are kick ass and doing so many things outside of Spanish A Key and are still going to continue with Spanish A Key. And I cannot wait to see every single person flourish. Yeah, so I'm going to stop talking before I bawl my eyes out.
Well, I just started crying because I think it just hit. It hit me for real when Jordan started like talking. But also, shout out to Jordan for letting me call out white people almost in every episode and just fucking sit there and have to listen to it again when she does the edit.
They need to be called out. You should hear the conversations I have with my family about their ignorance. So it's anything I can do to help representation, especially with having a podcast that was started during the Trump administration and how important it was, is, yeah, I'm so happy and honored to be part of such a diverse podcast.
We are very lucky to have you.
That's a pretty, yeah.
Thanks, guys.
For sure.
You'll never have me ever again. I'm just kidding.
Oh, no!
Oh, no!
She's gone.
She disappeared. There's only...
Goodbye.
I don't see that.
Wow.
No, I love you guys so much.
Love you too, Jordan.
We love you too, Jordan and Anita. Ay, ay, ay.
Yes. So now that we're about to wrap up, are there any final thoughts, any parting words of wisdom that we want to give the listeners?
We'll be back.
Mira, don't sleep on us. You can't get rid of us. We're going to be up in your face real soon. And in your ears, your orejas, and your face, ¿verdad?
Sí.
Mm-hmm. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a cafecito break.
Uh-huh.
The last cafecito break. And then when we come back, we're going to pretend like none of this
We're
going to go into a second part of the show and be just like normal.
Yeah.
Yep.
But if we allow ourselves to have a little moment together as a team and as a group.
Should we do like a 5 second silence?
That's so long in podcast.
I'm kidding. I was kidding.
For the morning. Also right in the middle of
Middle. Yeah.
Interesting.
And now your moment of silence.
Yeah. Just
for us. And now our special guest.
And then Tony slurp, slurp, slurp.
What kind of fun is waiting for you at Kings Island? The holy cow, we're way too high and here comes the drop kind of fun. The make a splash all summer kind of fun. The I can't believe I ate that whole funnel cake. Let's get another kind of fun. But most importantly, at Kings Island, you'll find for the fun of it kind of fun.
Don't wait to start your fun this season. Kings Island is now open weekends.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s, 1975 to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie. And fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.
You guys, I am so excited for our final guest of our last episode. Okay. Yes. All right, Carlitos. Here we go. She is one of the funniest comedians in the planet. And she has one of a new HBO special called Drawn. Also, she doesn't know this, but she has watched me play basketball a couple of times.
What? Oh, we're getting into that. We're getting into it.
I don't know if she's a fan yet, but we'll find out. No, I'm just kidding. We have Tig Notaro in the house.
Yay.
Yay.
And you forgot to mention action movie star.
Yes.
So I think it's important that is a hype.
I blew it.
That's added.
50-year-old action movie star.
Hey, listen,
she's
Halle
dabbled
Berry,
in comedy, but truly her passion lies in action.
Yeah, killing zombies.
I mean, Halle Berry just did a tweet the other day where she was like, I never thought I'd be, I think she's like 54 or 58. Uh-huh. It was one of those. She's like, and like book a role as an MMA star. And I was like, that's tight. Like, I love that.
I'm not complaining. I'm just shocked.
Yeah.
Not about her, but about me.
Yeah. How
anything is possible.
Yeah. I'd love to talk about that. Like, how did that feel? Especially like Carlito said, like, you know, you've done so much comedy. And to like also like jump into this super cool action movie.
Well, I mean, I guess I'm considered, you know, comedic relief of this action film. So there was that. But it was, you know, it was surprising. It was unfortunate circumstances because I was replacing somebody that had been accused of sexual harassment of, you know, anyway. But I enjoyed doing it. I certainly enjoyed doing it. It was, something I've never done. I mean, even though I do have a role on Star Trek, so there's like some things that explode on there and there's some little action-y moments, but, nothing quite like what I did on Army of the Dead.
Did you do like a bunch of like any stunts like on your own? Because I know like at some like sometimes it's like it's too crazy and they're like no.
I mean there wasn't any real moment that was calling for stunts really. It was just more of action-y kind of.
You're like, can you raise the gun up? Okay, you're good.
Yeah, and honestly, barely. Barely.
They're heavy.
Oh my gosh. And it's not even a real machine gun and it's so heavy.
Really?
It's so like, heavy.
They can make them lighter. I don't understand what they
I mean, truly. And they have this other gun that is for, you know, that you can hold that looks like the other fake gun that weighs a lot, but the fake gun doesn't weigh a lot, but they use the fake one for when you're in like really far away shots. And so my vote is to use the fake one because.
Yeah. I mean, they literally inserted you into a whole movie.
Yeah.
And they, like, the technology is available. And yet the gun.
Well, yeah, they green screened me. Yeah, they green screened me into the movie to replace him.
Which, and by the way, seamless.
It was, I think it was pretty well done. Very impressive. It's heavy. Those guns, they're heavy.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine if it was real, which would be even heavier and it would be kicking back.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say. The kick, cause I've shot a gun once in real, like in ever in my life. I was like, uncle's lake house in Gainesville on Thanksgiving. And
as you do,
I don't know, whatever. And like, so like, they're like, shoot it. And my dad's like, Raisa, just shoot it. Just try it, coño. And I'm like, okay, fine, whatever. And I'm like, I don't even know, like 17 years old in high school, I think. And I'm like, I did it. And I swear, like, I felt like I almost like was about to fall on the floor. Like, and I was like,
scary.
Yeah. And then I think about it, I'm like, but in movies, they like hold it. Like you see like people and they're like, so chill. Like they just pull it up very like light.
Well,
like,
and this is a machine gun.
Yeah. Yeah, even more.
Like several rounds.
Oh, wow. Have you shot before like a gun or no?
I mean, I had a BB gun and BB rifle when I was a kid and, you know, I would shoot those, but nothing. I don't think I've ever shot.
Nothing automatic.
No. I mean, nothing okay. automatic. Okay. I'm just trying to think, I shot a gun aside from a BB gun. Mm. And I don't think I have. Mm. I don't really have an interest in it.
Well, now it's in your skills page.
No,
you can't take that. Nobody can take that away from you.
And nobody's trying.
Yeah. Undefeated. Hey, Raisa brought up the basketball thing and I'm very curious. What is this basketball thing that you said, Raisa?
Can I guess?
Yeah. Well, yeah, you can.
Are you in a basketball league with my wife?
Yes, I'm not.
Oh!
Yes. I am not. Oh, I'm not on her team.
Uh-huh.
But I'm on another team, the Lucille Ballers, which was a bunch of UCB gals. I'm
familiar with the Lucille Ballers.
We are rivals.
Yeah.
I know, God. We're
I know. Real. Stephanie's going to be furious when she finds out I was on your podcast.
It's truly, you know what? The funniest thing is literally like my second game ever was, I think, against the Pistol Shrimps. And I remember like nobody wanted to guard Aubrey Plaza. And I was like, I'll do it. It was like, I was so excited. And like, I play basketball my whole life. So like, I'm pretty okay. I'm like, I can say that, I guess. But then I was like, why does nobody want to guard the like famous people? I'm like, whatever, I don't care. And I'll do it.
And how was it guarding her? Was she good or?
Yeah, Aubrey's really good. Like, honestly, like I didn't really know what like skill level anybody was going to be at. And like, I hadn't played basketball. I mean, I was like in years, like since I lived in Miami, and I had been here like already like 5 years when I started. But yeah, I'm like, I love it. And it's definitely something that I miss so much, to the point that last week I called the city to see when they were going to start registration.
And what'd they say?
Oh, he was like, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
He's like, the thing is, it's a lot of touching, you know, basketball. And I was like, yeah, I know basketball. I know basketball, motherfucker. But I was like, okay. He's like, well, I heard that like volleyball or something was happening. He's like, yeah, but they don't really touch each other. I'm like, okay, fine. But
yeah, so, I wonder if there's anything to masks on an outdoor court.
Yeah. People have been wearing
masks. And like having to be vaccinated. You know?
Right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'd be down for that. I'd be like, sure.
Like a bubble. Like the NBA bubble.
I mean, yeah.
Low key.
Yeah. And also rent out Disneyland like the NBA did. That's what you guys should do. I'm sure there's a budget in there.
No, I think they could do Knott's Berry Farm. I think that's more.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Do you play basketball by any chance? Or?
I mean, I played when I was in sixth grade on the school team, and my brother and I used to play as kids. And then when I got together with Stephanie, I joined the Pistol Shrimps and I played.
Oh, so you did?
Well, it was the first day of the very first practice, and a ball hit me in the face and broke my glasses. Oh, no. And I was just like, you know what? I'm out. I don't.
This is a sign.
Yeah. Like, not my kind of party.
It's not my game. Like, it's Stephanie's game. And I just kind of did it to spend time with her and do something with her. And then it was just like, I'd be better on the...
A bonding activity, but then it just did not work out.
And then it was
so many other things you could do together.
Yeah. And when we had our kids, it was fun to stroll the little baby twins into the... I was going to say stadium, but that is not where you were playing.
It felt like a stadium.
Pan Pacific.
Yeah. Pan Pacific Stadium.
Pan Pacific, baby.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so funny. Yeah. Also, by the way, I'm like, I got to give Stephanie her props. Like, she's so good. Like, she's like, so like, I'm like, she's like someone that I'm like, oh yeah, she had to have played in college or something way more professional than high school.
She didn't go to college.
She didn't? Well, no. she probably would have. I'm like, I feel like she would have been able to.
No, she played in high school. She has some basketball that's in an encasement in her office that she got 1,000 points. I guess that's a big deal.
Wild.
Okay,
that's a lot.
Chamberlain.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, relax.
Oh my gosh. Okay, I love that. All right. So look, I got the basketballness out. I do want to have our producer Anita jump on for the rest of the podcast because we usually have Oscar and Tony here, but both of them are on set on our last day, and they're
unfortunately working.
Yeah, they decided to.
But Anita is a little bit of a fan, and she's been quietly, you know, holding it together. And there she is. Hi, Anita.
Hi, happy to be here on the pod.
Look at her trying to sound red. Like she's I am like normal, red right like now. Fine.
It's hot here too. Blushing. If that means anything, it's really hot in New York. It helps, but yes, I am.
Look, I'm in Mississippi.
You can feel
you
the blushing happen.
Oh,
it's damn really, it! Yes. That's moist. That's like that's, that moist that, hot because I'm.
Yeah, it's humid.
Yeah, that's well, that's New like York Miami. That
New York can get humid.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure. I just. I'm feeling it down here in Mississippi. Yeah.
Having now spent time in Miami and New York, where I've spent most of my time, never been to Mississippi. Would you say the humidity is worse in Mississippi than New York?
I think it's hard to decide, because I think when you're in that kind of, I mean, is New York humidity like you walk out of your house and you have sweat dripping down your back?
Yeah. But that's only like July, August. It's like seasonal.
93.
Not in Miami.
Today.
Miami's year round. It's your
there's Mary. Always yeah, you sweat. Got that, the, there's the, a shine.
The swamp, but, yeah. The swamp yeah. thing happening. But.
Yeah.
And there's a hurricane headed towards yeah. us this weekend.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I know. And yeah. I think I'm filming a movie in New Orleans. And on my days off, I've been going over to my hometown that's an hour away in Mississippi and hanging out with my family. And I got a message today that they might be evacuating us up to Dallas.
Oh, shit.
Oh, wow.
Crazy.
That's wild.
So this might be my last podcast ever.
Oh, my God. No.
Oh, my God.
Oh, what?
Don't no. say that. What? No, that's so much pressure. I hope that's not true.
It might help your numbers, you know, for the final episode.
We'll sell it that way. Yeah, we'll definitely. Yeah.
Listen, I am so happy.
Tig's last
that,
words.
Tig's last words. We got basketball
that
content.
That is the title of Jordan. Please note.
And my final words
episode.
Were... is the humidity so bad in New York that you have sweat dripping down your back? And then I just blew away in a hurricane.
I wish, by the way, Tig, I wanted to wear today. I was at your show that you did in 2014 for the New York Comedy Festival, where many articles were written up. You famously went topless. You signed a shirt for me.
Oh.
It's somewhere in my apartment, but I want you to know, if I knew where it was, I'd be wearing it right now.
Or maybe you shouldn't be wearing it
sure.
because of, you know, in memory of the show.
Oh, yes.
Sure.
I would, but I have now taken two sexual harassment courses as Earwolf first.
But I'm not saying to reveal anything, but you could just have your shoulders, yeah. you know, you could just be.
I understand. Yeah. You know.
Just in the spirit of the show.
Sure. I understand.
I was like, are we all taking? No. Okay, fine.
This brings me to an important question about the show itself, where you did famously take your shirt off at the show. It was an amazing show. But I started to think about, did you do any practice of taking your shirt off before? Because you were wearing a button down.
Was there a dry run?
Like, exactly. Did you decide on a button down versus a over the head, because that it might get stuck in your head? Like, did you practice is what I'm asking.
You know what? I've taken my shirt off three times on stage. One time at Largo in Los Angeles. I did it the first time just to kind of try it out. And then
workshopping it?
Yeah, I was workshopping my scars on my chest. And then I went out to New York and workshopped it there one more time. And that's when HBO was there to see me. And that's when they wanted to do a special with me. So I thought, great, I'll do a special with HBO. And then the shirt will come off again for a final time. I mean, I can't say final, you know, maybe I'll do another special topless for no apparent reason.
That's always on the table.
Yeah, it's always on the table. But I think, honestly, I decided on a button-down shirt because when I say I care a lot about my hair, it's hard to say that with a straight face when my hair looks the way it does while you're looking at me on Zoom. But I would say that as much as I care about my hair, I'm also a person that when I brush my teeth and wash my face and head out for the day, I never look at my hair again. But if I'm on stage and I took my shirt off over my head, I'd probably be thinking a lot on stage.
You'd get too out of it.
Yeah, I would be like, is my hair sticking up in a weird way? Is my hair, you know, whereas a button down, I could, you know, avoid worrying about that.
Yeah.
Ooh.
So the Velcro was never an option.
Makes sense.
What was?
Velcro.
You know, I didn't even think about it. I wish I'd had you back in those days, Carlos.
Gosh, Carlitos, look at you.
Maybe one more run and you would have probably gotten there.
Yeah.
Like one more dry run.
I do want to ask a question, mostly because, you know, if we have any listeners that are listening to this and maybe have never watched your special or aren't maybe...
Impossible.
I know. Impossible. I listen.
There's no way.
Listen.
The numbers don't lie.
I can barely get my dad to listen to my podcast, so I'm like...
My stepfather watches my podcast.
He does?
It's not possible.
No.
But he That's what he tells me.
I was like, well, I was like, I don't, because they have those ones that like, it's
no,
like,
I know.
Record.
Mine doesn't have that. But my stepfather's okay. Like, Tig, I want you to know I did watch an episode of each of your podcasts. And I'm like, well, then we finally have one view because it's not possible.
That is very funny. Like the dad, like, because my dad, you know, he calls me and he said, you know, I listen to a little bit, but then you start talking about stuff I don't care. I'm like, okay, but like, did you keep going? You could skip a little bit. He goes, no, I just turn it off and I put my jazz.
I got the gist of it. It's okay. Like, I got it.
What? But yeah. So I guess, so my question was, can you tell us a little bit of like, what like inspired you to get into comedy and stand up even specifically? Like what was like the big like inspiration to that?
Well, I mean, I come from a funny family and I think I always was a funny kid and mischievous and
Where do you rank with your family?
Where do I rank? Well, my mother, I would say, was kind of the top dog, and then she died. Oof. And so I think I took over. And my mother never had an HBO special.
You beat her.
Yeah, yeah. I now have two. You. I now have two. So, but anyway, I think that's you know, we always watched SNL and watched stand up specials, and it was just very. Very comedy oriented. And, you know, I think I didn't realize that stand up was really an option for me. I thought just other people, whoever they were, got to do things like that. And then I just gave it a try. I think almost 25 years ago.
Okay. So do you remember that first time that you got on stage?
Oh, yes.
How was it? Was it like just the best feeling or was it like, oh, fuck?
It was kind of out of body. It was a little bizarre because I had been practicing. I had just moved to Los Angeles with my childhood friends and I had seen all of the opportunity to get on stage out in LA. And so I thought, well, I'm going to get on stage. I'm going to give myself 2 weeks. I'm going to go see all the comedy. I'm going to write stuff. And so I wrote some jokes and stories out. And then I hung out in my studio apartment and I had a flashlight. And I would look at myself in the mirror and use the flashlight as a microphone. Oh. And I would talk to myself and look at myself in the mirror. And I practiced for 2 weeks talking to myself. And then I went to do comedy. And I remember when I got a laugh, I was so startled. It scared me because I hadn't been, it makes no sense. Because of course I'm doing.
You were planning for that.
Yeah,
for
I didn't plan for that. Because I had been talking to myself for so long that I, when they laughed, I was like, oh God, oh, right. That's what I wanted. But it scared me.
Did it mess you up? Because I feel like some comedians do in front of the mirror. But I feel like the experience of watching, looking at yourself doesn't necessarily translate to having an audience like at the end
of
the
day. Well, no, it doesn't translate at all.
Was it just jarry? Yeah.
I mean, yeah, there's nothing that can. I mean, I say there's nothing that can prepare you. But I do think it. There was some preparation and help in talking to myself and running it through over and over. But I mean, actually walking on stage in front of people, it's just a totally different experience. And the first time I went on, it went well. And when I say it went well, I would hate to see a video of that. But
you gotta go back to it.
You guys are like, guess what? We have access to that footage.
Well, let's funny go you should it. Say. And, lay it,
Jordan. Yeah, engineer Jordan, drop the table.
But I got unusually cocky after the first time. And then the second time I signed up, the following night I signed up for a competition. Because the first time went well.
Yeah.
And
how'd that go?
Terribly. Nobody laughed. And I was doing the competition to win $100. Nobody laughed. And I walked off stage not even halfway through my set. I was mortified. Ooh. And my friend was with me. And the whole drive back, we were in, I think, Hermosa Beach. And the whole drive back to Los Angeles, he was laughing, at like choking to death laughing at me.
You're like, so, now you're laughing?
Yeah, yeah. Where were the laughs before?
The thing about having a decent show for the first time is that then you're chasing that, as opposed to if you have like a terrible, I feel like some people, when they have a terrible first show, then it's harder for them to kind of go back.
But you're chasing it either way. And yeah. That's how stand up, it's like a sick relationship you have, yeah. You know, it's just, I think it's like any sort of performance. You're just trying, you're constantly chasing it.
Oh, yeah. I'm like, I don't do stand up, but like there'll be sometimes where we'll have an improv show and I'm like, wow, I was fucking on fire. Like mm-hmm. I had that callback or I fucking whatever it was. And then like, I'll do like a show like the same, like the next day. And I'm like, wow, I hate myself. Why did I say this? Why was I a fish? I could have been a this or what, like whatever that is. And like,
yeah,
it's just, it's so wild. Like that live performance energy. We're so excited for it. We love it. But yet at the same time, it's like mortifying inside.
I'm curious. You were talking about your, you know, earlier stand-up days. As a person who briefly did stand-up, one of the strangest things that happened was I was talking about a pen in my set and a drunk guy threw a pen at me. It was okay. Mm-hmm. Nothing bad happened. It was just a surreal moment. I was like, wow, that's never happened to me. So I'm curious, in your early days or even now, has anyone ever, or does anything stick out to you? Either somebody did, like an audience member did or said something strange. Does anything stick out to you?
I mean, this isn't the strangest thing, but I thought it was a funny moment where what happened? I was in Florida and I was talking about how I was born in Mississippi and then I moved to. Or I said, oh, yeah, I was like, oh, I was born in Mississippi. And then later on in my set, I was talking about how I lived in Texas. And then I was saying how. You know, at the time I was in Los Angeles, and then it was when I was doing comedy clubs, and it was that point in my career when the audience wasn't necessarily there to see me. It was just like people like, oh, let's go see comedy.
Gotcha.
And and in the front row was this very elderly woman who, looking back now, was probably 50. No, but she was sitting in the, she was sitting in the front row. And she just spoke to me as though it wasn't a comedy show and as though there's nobody else in the room. And like, I was only talking to her and
like a therapy session.
It was like we were out for coffee or something. Yeah. And so I was gabbing. Yeah. I was in the middle of my set and I was talking about all these different places where I lived. And she said to me so earnestly, she didn't yell it out. And she was front row. And she just said, oh, well, I thought you said you were from Mississippi. I remember
so matter-of-factly.
She wasn't quite following. You know, I was from Mississippi. I lived in Texas. And I remember I said, can I move? And
great response. Like,
but it always struck me as so funny that there was no part of her that was like, oh, excuse me, or raising her voice
on a show.
Yeah, yeah, nothing. It was just, oh, I thought you said you were from Mississippi.
Hold up. Something is not adding up.
Yeah.
Comedian.
Yeah. But I'm certain I've had weird, crazy experiences, but I think they happen so frequently that I'm like, yeah, all the time. I don't even know where to begin. Yeah. You know, I think somebody walked in off the alley once onto the stage. I think that happened to me one time.
Oh, wow.
The guy that threw the pen at me, by the way, I should have known it was going to happen because it was a situation where some guys walked in. They were Irish and I could hear them talking through my set and they were like, let's go in here. I knew it was going to get bad from there. They just stumbled in.
Was that your Irish accent?
Me? No, I can't do an Irish accent.
No, I know. I know.
Very subtle. It's very subtle. It's very subtle.
I wouldn't dare try to do an Irish accent.
Oh my gosh. Okay, I do want to talk those you know, about the special that you have out, Drawn. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, I think also, like you said, like you've been doing stand-up, you said, for 25 years.
I think almost. It might almost be 24. It might be 23. It might be 25.
That's a good number. We'll take
yeah.
it.
A quarter yes. of a century. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So half of my life.
Half a life. So I guess something that I was thinking about is like, you know, like you've had, like we said in the beginning, like such an amazing career, especially like with like comedy and stand-up. And I feel like this was such a huge show that was also filmed in such a weird time. Was this filmed during pandemic or still, right? Or right before it?
My animated show?
Mm-hmm.
It was recorded 4 years ago.
Okay. I thought it was during the pandemic. Okay. How was doing that in that style? Because that's also like a different.
Yeah, it was fun. I mean, I've had my comedy and stories animated over the years on different TV shows and websites and so I always really, really loved seeing that finished product.
Yeah.
And so I happened to sell the special actually before the pandemic started, and we sold it the day Hollywood shut down, which was crazy.
March 17th, 2020.
Yeah. Yeah. And so people thought I sold this because of the pandemic, but I had already planned on it because the material was all of the material except for the closing story. It was all four-year-old material that I had thought about putting out as an album. And then I thought, I don't know if I want to do it as a... And then I decided to do the animated thing because I realized I could also release that material as an album after the animated special came out. So
yeah, I could do both.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Sure. That's smart. Oh, yeah. Hell yes.
One question I had, because I am a big fan of people animating. Actually, UCB used to do like animated stories where they'd have people, you know, they have a different animator animate someone's set. Like they have, like, and so my question to you is, now that you've done animation, is there any other medium or anything else you feel like your stand-up special could be paired with? Like a puppet show, interpretive dance. those are the ones that come to mind. But now that you've done this thing where you've taken your stand-up and, like, you know, illustrated it in a different way other than you yourself being on stage, are there any other, I don't know, cool creative things you feel like you could do?
I've thought about puppetry. But there are a couple of other ideas that I've had that I don't really want to talk about.
Okay.
There's one that is maybe in discussion about. And so,
you just don't want your step, fair. your,
no, that's fine.
Your step. It was your stepdad, right? That watches it.
Yeah, I don't want him to watch
you don't
this
want him
episode.
To watch it
yeah.
Oh my gosh,
all right,
I love that. Also, like, since my cat did come on, I saw in your bio that you said that you love birds, cats, and fish, which is very interesting to me
in
because
order.
Yes, because
they all eat each other.
Yes, that was I was like, I'm like, okay, the cats like to eat birds and fish, is that why you're really you really want those pets for the cats? Because I support that. I support that. Anything for
I mean,
cats.
I've had cats my whole life. I just think they're the greatest, most chill animals. So cute. And I love birds. I got really into birds after Jurassic Park came out because just watching the dinosaur
movements.
Like
the connection to the dinosaurs?
Yeah, and the birds. Pterodactyls and, you know, different, I don't know. They just seem prehistoric. And I just like their robotic movements. And I love watching them through our windows at our house at bird feeders and little bird houses and
the cats probably go crazy because mine go crazy when they hear anything like a random like paloma or like pigeon or something and they're like, and they're like, They go nuts.
I mean, my cats really, I think, are the three most exhausted cats that have ever, ever.
They're both of, all three of them are named Garfield, I heard.
I was going to say Garfield. Yeah,
they are. It's really crazy. It's ridiculous. But I also love fish. Stephanie would never let me do. I mean, I love so many animals, but if I were single, I would do something that Stephanie thinks is the worst idea and would never let us have this in our house. I would want an entire wall that is an aquarium.
An aquarium.
I'm team Stephanie. No.
Yeah, I would love to sit back and just watch beautiful, colorful fish just swim around the size of a wall. Oh my God, I would love that.
Fish scare me.
I'm going to move in with Carlos.
I mean, yeah.
The alternative is you have to get a big screensaver.
You move in with Carlos, I'll move in with Stephanie. I'm like, but
yeah,
you guys
can play basketball and we'll watch fish.
Yeah, we'll watch fish.
Wow. Look at how this really worked out. I remember when I went to Thailand and like they were like, oh, like go in the water and like the fish will like be around you, but like it's chill. I freaked out and I was like, ah, I was like, all the tourists are all like snorkeling and fucking shit and like just like enjoying like life. And I was like,
kicking them.
I was like, no, it literally. Like,
well, you don't have to get into the aquarium.
I know.
It's meant to be looked at. You're not supposed to jump in.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
There's just something about like the like, I don't know how to explain it. Like how they, I don't know.
Okay. So it's not therapeutic for you.
Yeah, but... no.
See, and I think that's the thing is cats and birds and fish, they're all just mellow. Like I just love just eating and flying and swimming and napping. Yeah, I love it.
I love a good
nap. Can I ask a related question? This is right up. I didn't think this was going to come up, but it seems like now I can ask this question. If you could be a talking animal, what kind of what animal would you be that could talk?
Ooh, I love this.
I think I'd be a cat.
Yeah, I was gonna say
I could picture it.
I could see Tig voicing a cat for sure.
Yeah,
I see that.
Yeah,
if anybody's listening that is looking to hire someone to be a cat.
Yeah. I also nominate myself too. I could be
But I would like the role.
Okay, all right. Look, you can have famous Tig or
Tig called it first. Risa, get another dream.
I don't know.
Get another dream, Risa.
I'm like, as I say this, I like look around my apartment. I'm like, I have like seven cat things like around me. Like I really am that person. But also I'm like, everybody just gives me cat stuff because I love cats. And I'm like, too much. I don't know if that happens to you guys with the pet stuff.
Oh my gosh, my very good friend who I moved to Los Angeles with, this is so funny. Her parents, you know, she's the youngest of five and her parents are a bit older and she's the baby of the family. And she has a cat, or she did. This was years ago when we first moved to Los Angeles, but she had a cat and as a present to her, her dad, and it's a very sweet gesture, but he was so too old to understand that she would never wear this. He got a sweatshirt and a matching hat made with the cat's face on the sweatshirt and the hat, and it had the cat's name, and it was one of the greatest things I'd ever seen in my life.
I mean, I feel like 10 years ago, maybe not, but I feel like today people would rock the fuck out of their cat on their shirt.
Right? For sure. It was ahead of its time. But this was 25 years ago.
Oh, 25. Oh, I thought you said
this is not 10.
Okay. All right.
You're basically describing what Etsy is all about.
Yeah.
That was the precursor.
Yeah. But this was not like, you know, funny or ironic, or this is her very sweet father.
Yeah. Oh, that's
sincerely giving her a sweatshirt with a matching hat with her cat's airbrushed painting of her cat on the sweatshirt and the hat.
Oh,
it was
that,
so sweet.
Whoa, wait, hold on. That's like, I'm here for that.
And I mean, and it's really unfortunate because we were trying to find that sweatshirt and hat in the past like 5 or 10 years and she was like, yeah, I don't know where it is. And but yeah, I would wear that.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, I think I'm going to have to get one made now after this recording. Tig, thank you so much for being here and being so lovely. Anita, thank you for jumping on.
Thank you, Anita, for not blushing too.
Thank you. I'll just say I daydreamed this before, hoping I'd ask you some questions today. But I just wanted to say your album, Live, I hope. I've been saying Live and Live since 2012. Got me through some really, thank you. Live got me through some really tough times, including my own surgery. So it means a lot to me. And
well, I'm so glad to hear that it was helpful. And
it was great. So thank you.
And
for
I
that.
Hope that you're.
Oh, I'm A-okay.
Two thumbs up.
A benign tumor in 2015. I'm all good. But
oh, nice.
It was great.
Great.
Oh, yeah.
Not the tumor, you're special. Yeah.
Your support over the years.
Yeah.
And it's nice to meet you again.
Yeah. I cried in the daydream.
You better find that shirt.
But I'm not crying now because I already imagined telling you this. But I was. When I imagined this moment, I was like, tears.
You're all cried out.
You cried it out first. Yeah. You had a dry run before. She cried it out. And
I did.
Now.
Yeah, we really did throw this to Anita. Like without, I'm like, oh, Anita, by the way. Like, she's like, oh, okay, I'll go get my mic. I was like, why? She's like, so cute.
I wasn't thinking about it, but I was, but it wasn't.
But it was, but I was like hoping and like, well, look, you half manifested it, but we, me and Carlitos sidebarred and we're like, yes. But again, Tig, thank you so much for being here. We're so excited to continue seeing everything and hopefully you...
Tig Notaro Drawn is on HBO Max right now, correct?
Yes, it is. I don't know if it's still on actual HBO.
It is.
It is still on the... Okay, it's still on HBO and it's on HBO Max.
I
have other specials on Netflix. I have a book called I'm Just a Person. I have a TV show. One Mississippi. Yeah.
Mississippi.
I have podcasts.
Two podcasts on Mastig and Tig and Cheryl True Story.
Yeah. Don't Ask Tig and Tig and Cheryl True Story. Don't Ask Tig is advice. And then Tig and Cheryl True Story is nowhere near advice. It's just me and Cheryl Hines from Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Sure.
We talk about a new documentary every week and it's just utter nonsense.
Hell yeah. And where can everybody follow you on the socials?
Well, I have a Twitter account, but I don't tweet. Other people tweet from my account.
I've done it. I did.
Oh,
it
you
once.
Have?
Yeah, I did. It. I did it once. Yeah.
I've never tweeted in my life.
That's right.
But
that's
I do have a Twitter account, and then I have a Facebook fan page, and then my cat Fluff has an Instagram account, but it's not like a verified. Like I'm not looking to be verified or anything. So. I have kind of a weird social media situation.
Is it the real Fluff Notaro?
It is the real Fluff Notaro. It
okay.
is.
Yeah.
And I hope my other two cats, Linus and Skip, don't find out. Yeah.
Don't know who the favorite is.
Yeah. No, I love them all.
I know.
I love them all equally.
Yes, same. I'm like, I give them so many kisses as I arrive the home and leave. Like, if it's like the last time I'm going to see them. So I get it. Awesome. Well, everybody, you can also follow us at Spanish Aquí Presents on IG. You can follow us on Twitter at Spanish Aquí. And you can follow me at Raisa Licea on Instagram and Twitter. And you can also follow Oscar at Aussie Mo on Instagram and Twitter.
And to the Tony Roderick and Prony, you can follow him at the Tony Roderick. And I could have made a joke about something and I got caught up in it. Yeah. And then you can follow me at, of course, it's Carlos on Instagram. And that's it.
And Anita.
And you Anita, where can we follow you?
You can follow me at Anita Jutina. I'm a Jewish Latina. That's why it's Anita Jutina. On Twitter.
Well, that's not a...
On Twitter and Instagram.
Hell
love
yeah.
It.
And Jordan, give us the handle. Give us a handle, Jordan. Let's make it official.
You can find me at Jordan K. Duffy on Instagram, and I have an album coming out in 2022.
Ooh.
Nice.
Hey. All right. We did it, guys. Hell yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That has right.
listened and supported. We love you. And dale.
Bye.
Bye.
Que viva el paseo.
Hey, pachanga. Spanish Aquí Presents is an Earwolf production executive produced by me, Raisa, Tony, Carlos, and Oscar. It's engineered by Jordan Duffy and produced by Anita Flores.
You can follow us on social media on Instagram at Spanish Aquí Presents and Spanish Aquí on Twitter.
Find our latest merch at potswag.com and especially look out for the Spanish Chicky Presents enamel pin set featuring all of our beautiful faces.
Yeah, and help us get the word out by telling a friend about the show today.
Make sure to rate and review Spanish Chicky Presents and follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you listen.
Want more Spanish Chicky Presents? Find our full archive and ad-free episodes on Stitcher Premium. Use promo code SAP for a one-month free trial at stitcher.com/premium.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.